Well, what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about some of the topic of assumptions and how we are often misled on that topic. And we're told from a very early age that we should never make assumptions. I think it's a huge, huge myth. And in fact, we can't get through the day without several juicy, very important assumptions. From our earliest memory, I've been told that, or given that demonstration on the chalkboard, where the instructor would write the word assume on the chalkboard, and then he'd underline the word ass, and then the word you, and the word me, and tell us all, if you make assumptions, it only makes an ass out of you and me. Hope I can say that. And in fact, it's absolutely and positively wrong to make that statement and to teach people to not make assumptions, because it's, especially in EMS, it's essential that we learn how to make assumptions and which assumptions to make. And in fact, that person wasn't entirely wrong, because I think they had the right spirit in mind, or whoever said that. We've just perpetuated it wrong. And in fact, they may have just left out a little word. And an example of that is when, I think it was Neil Armstrong who stepped onto the moon and said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Well, he tells us that he actually said the sentence correctly. Most of the people on the ground only heard what I just said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But that's not what he meant to say at all. It was one small step for a man. Well, we kind of filled in that word, a man. We knew it was him, and he was sitting, making that step onto the moon. But we sort of filled that in, and we sort of took it in context and understood what was really meant. With assumptions, I believe that the word that was left out that we really need to reinforce is that don't ever make passive assumptions. And that's a very, very critical point. There's a big difference between a passive assumption and an active assumption. And passive assumptions are the ones that get us into trouble. When our first child was born, my wife left me with Caitlin for the first time after about 3 or 4 months, and she left me with Caitlin, meaning she went out to go shopping, not left me. And she just sort of made a passive assumption that if her diaper was to become dirty, that I would change it. Well, I was busy on the computer and doing my things, and certainly keeping a close eye on her in the chair next to me. But a few hours later, when my wife got home and the house smelled like a dirty diaper, you know, she realized that, my gosh, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you change this? And so the next time, she made an assumption that if I noticed it was dirty, that I'd make that change. Well, the next time she left and wanted me to take care of Caitlin for a while, she actually laid out that diaper, laid out that plastic little mat, gave me the little container full of wipes, and made sure everything was ready to go, and actually made the assumption that if she didn't do that, that I would not clean it. So she laid it all out for me, and of course everything had worked out great, and it really stuck with me in terms of how to bring that into the classroom and how to teach our students to make active assumptions. A good example in EMS, if I can move in that direction now, is when you roll up onto an accident scene and you've got a single vehicle accident into a tree, and as an ambulance, when you roll up, you see a police officer already on scene. The scene appears to be safe. His lights are on. The car is off to the side. Traffic has been diverted, and there's a gentleman with a bandage on his head, and he's talking to the police officer. He's standing next to his vehicle, leaning up against the front fender. The police officer is taking information. He might even be reaching into his wallet to give the police officer information. Now, you see this vehicle. It's got significant damage. The windshield is cracked. The airbag has been deployed. And now we have significant damage to the front of the car. Now, we have two choices at this point. We can teach our students to make active assumptions, or we can teach them to make passive assumptions, or we can do what we've been doing all along so far, which is don't make any assumptions. And that's the incorrect move, one of two incorrect moves. So as we approach the scene, the student can think about this, look at the scene and see the person standing there, the patient, and say, I can assume he's got no injury because he's standing outside the vehicle. He's talking to police officers. He's obviously conscious and alert, and he's having a verbal exchange with the police officer. Therefore, I don't have to take really any more action. I might intervene, I might ask to take a pulse, I might talk to him if he hurts and ask him if he hurts somewhere and confirm he was in the vehicle and did he hit his head and all these things. But in many cases, we can make that passive assumption and not provide care or assume he has no spinal injury. The right way to treat this patient is based on the mechanism of injury, not on whether or not he complains of pain, whether or not he's holding his neck, whether or not he's got bleeding, whether or not he hit his head or lost consciousness, but to look at the mechanism of injury and make a very active assumption. And that is by looking at the front of the car, the windshield, the deployed airbag, and make an active assumption that this gentleman may have a neck injury. And therefore, we're going to take action to stabilize his spine and place him on a backboard and properly package him until it can be ruled out that there is no injury. That's an important concept that I think most people in EMS don't quite understand. They eventually learn it through trial and error. They don't even realize actively that they're making these wrong assumptions or quite frankly, making the right assumption and not realizing it. So it's a concept of passive versus active assumptions, and one of my goals is to help educators understand the difference and help teach their classes that passive assumptions are the mistake. It's just one word that was left out in that lifelong lesson of never make assumptions, and what was meant to be said is never make passive assumptions.
What do you do in your classroom to try to teach the concept of active versus passive assumptions?
Well, every decision, we analyze every decision. As they approach the scene, did they wear appropriate BSI precautions? Did they wear glasses? Did they wear gloves? Did they make a choice to wear them anything at all? And many times we will catch them making that, we'll force them into making a passive assumption. So I'll have a patient having chest pain or a patient having abdominal pain and have no obvious sign of bleeding. And so the students might respond to that patient and say, no sign of bleeding, no trauma. I'll decide not to put my gloves on as I care for this patient. Don't think it's necessary. I don't have any reason to believe I'm going to be exposed to blood or body fluids. And about 30 seconds to 60 seconds into that call, the person will begin to spit up blood. And they'll either sneeze, cough, or just sort of spit up some blood and spray a little bit of what we've got, some red fluid in their mouth. And now we've caught the person with who's been exposed to blood. They might have gotten something splattered on them, and they have no eye protection and no gloves. So obviously, in that case, we'll step back during the critique and say, what assumptions did you make when you approached the scene? Well, we assumed that it would not be a scene involving blood because it was a patient sitting at home with abdominal pain. And in fact, it turned out that this person had a bleeding ulcer. That was the ultimate diagnosis with a history of that. They didn't even have enough time to get that history. They simply acted on a passive assumption. As an educator, I think we need to teach body substance isolation precautions on every patient contact. Veteran EMS providers know for a fact that they don't wear gloves. It's not appropriate on every single call. But they have enough experience to make that judgment. And every so often, even those of us with lots of experience can get caught off guard, and we'll have someone with abdominal pain suddenly vomit bright red blood, and we're now covered with their blood and weren't prepared for that. But in the classroom setting, we want students to not have to think about, I don't want that to be a decision that they have to think about. Whether or not they put them on O2, that's a good decision. Whether or not they put a mask or a cannula on, that's a good decision. What leader flow rate, good decisions, things they need to know about. But as far as BSI precautions, take the active approach, active assumption, assume that you may encounter blood or body fluids at some point during your encounter with the patient, and put gloves on appropriately every single time. Once they get some experience in the field, then they can learn from their own experience and decide, this one I'm not going to, and have some basis of understanding for that.
Another, your example of the trauma patient and making assumptions about that.
The spinal injury patient.
That's a great example for trauma. What about on a medical side? Talk about making assumptions for medical patients.
Well, I think perhaps just the one I gave you with the abdominal pain. We can simply assume that rolled up onto a chest pain call at the jail, the local county jail. We got dispatched to the jail for a chest pain. We roll up on the scene and we pull into the parking lot, and right outside the sally port, which is that area where they pull the car in for processing and put the chain down behind it, so they're essentially in a cell while they're being processed, this person started complaining of chest pain after having been arrested, and was being brought in for processing. And so right before they rolled in, she started complaining of chest pain. Well, the police officers know they can't really process or arrest somebody who has a medical problem. So the officer stopped outside the jail, called an ambulance. We arrived and opened up the back seat, and there was a 26-year-old female complaining of sharp chest pain. Well, the passive assumption is to immediately look at that 26-year-old and go, 26-year-olds don't have heart attacks. And especially sharp pain, you know, it isn't the textbook cardiac. So there were several things there that could have allowed me or pointed me in the direction of a passive assumption. Ah, you know, put her in jail, take her blood pressure, take a pulse, everything's fine, arrest the girl. And instead, we did a workup. We put her on the EK, you know, on the monitor, and did blood glucose and did several things to thoroughly rule out possibility of cardiac involvement. And again, when you make an active assumption, it requires work, it requires action. Human nature is generally a passive approach, and if we take a passive assumption, it doesn't require action. We can just, you know, have someone released at the scene or don't have to package them properly with spinal immobilization. And in this case, it was simply a difference between really a more thorough workup and assuming, you know what, this could be the 26-year-old who actually is having a heart condition or having some kind of cardiac compromise. Mm-hmm. So we decided to approach it that way and not take a passive passive approach. The outcome was the same. The outcome was good. She was not having a cardiac event, and they went ahead and processed her in the jail anyway. But I always think back on that one. It could have been. You know, the one.
Right. I like what you just said about how active assumption requires action. Very and so. I just want to maybe hear you talk a little bit about sort of what people think about that and action being required of a paramedic if they make this kind of assumption and the ease of making that passive assumption to say,
I think when we first get into the field, we are here for the action, whether the action is driving with lights and sirens or the action is you know, rolling a patient over and placing them on a backboard and securing them and holding their head and bag valve mask, you know, ventilating them. We're here for the action. But eventually that the honeymoon of that action sort of wears off, and we become, it's natural, happens in every business. We become a little complacent and a little, a little lazy. Frankly, we just become lazy. And if we don't have a partner who's willing to kind of keep us honest and still play that active role, when you get two partners together who are both in that passive state of mind, and that maybe it's a bad day the day before, maybe they were out late, maybe they're just in that brownout phase, not quite burnout yet, but they're browned out. And the tendency is to take the passive approach. It's a very dangerous period in an EMS person's career. It's a very dangerous period. You're coming off that honeymoon. It could be 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Could be that active real honeymoon, really involved, really engaged, taking every patient and treating them to the full extent and sort of acting on all the active assumptions. But eventually passive assumptions slip in, and it could be as simple as when you're driving to the scene of an accident. And while you've got your lights and sirens on and you're proceeding against a red light, I used to make very passive assumptions that everyone was going to stop for me because they could hear or see me. Mm-hmm. Until the first time I was broadsided in an ambulance and realized, wow, you know, they didn't see me, they didn't hear me, I can't make that assumption anymore. And so coming up to intersections, even with lights and sirens, we have to stop and clear that intersection with my partner and then move forward. So we actively clear the intersection, we actively assume the student that the traffic is not going to stop until we see the whites of their eyes or we see them braking, and then we move forward. So there's kind of an operational example of active versus passive assumptions.
Do you think that everybody is going to need to have, is it unavoidable to have to go through that coming off the honeymoon phase and have to have that big event that actually resets your clock? Or do you
think
that's something we can teach?
Well, I think so. I think we can minimize the consequences of those decisions. We don't want them to be all a life or death consequence. We can, first of all, let students know that, you know, put them in the correct context, tell them here they are, you make them every single day. When you walk into a hotel room, you assume that it's going to be clean and fresh for you. And so you walk through the door expecting that. Now, there's really no consequence if it isn't. You're a little bit put out, but it's not like you, when you walk into the hotel, you don't ask the person at the front desk, oh, by the way, can you make sure my room is clean before I walk up there? We don't do that. That would be an active assumption. You have the hotel manager come and look at your room before. That's kind of ridiculous. And really, the consequences are really insignificant other than a little convenience. But I think we can minimize the impact of bad decisions. But one of the areas that I feel as an educator is essential is that failure is one of the most important elements of learning. I like to say that success makes us feel good, but it's the failures that teach us the lessons that we need to learn. It's through our failures that we really, really learn the tough lessons. So making a mistake, having a bad outcome because of a passive assumption, I think is inevitable and probably necessary. I just hope that it's not a life or death consequence, that we don't allow a patient to die because of a passive assumption on our part. We don't allow a patient to walk to the ambulance who's got a neck fracture, and as they're stepping up into the ambulance, twist and dislodge a at that point, non-displaced fracture, paralyzing themselves and, you know, and collapsing in the back of the ambulance. And now we're stuck with trying to put them on a backboard and make it look like we had them packaged all along. So that's a significant negative outcome from a passive assumption that I hope people don't make. But I think it's happened. I think it happens every day. And my hope is to minimize the consequences from bad assumptions, and that they'll take little lessons from these negative or passive assumptions.
Okay.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from emsresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.